Well, this month we've been looking together at the subject of love. And over the past few weeks, for the benefit of folk who are here for the first time today, we've been looking at a very famous passage in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that's all about love. And it's really, really familiar. And part of it is the kind of thing that we'd have read at a wedding. I'll just quickly read it to you so you know what we've been looking at over the past 3 weeks. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they'll be stilled. Where there's knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And so now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. A lovely passage, beautiful words, familiar words. But as we've looked at over the past 3 weeks, Paul wrote those words in a letter to the church in Corinth. And the reason why he wrote those words to them all those years ago is because they were a church that was strong on gifts, but weak on love. They were strong in gifts, but weak in love. Their favorite things, prophecy, speaking in tongues, knowing everything, their favorite things, Paul writes, by themselves, without love, don't count for very much. So, of course, that rather begs the question, well, if all these things the church must have thought, if all these things that we prize so highly, knowledge and wisdom and being able to speak in tongues and all these sort of things, well, if that's not it, then what is love? What does love look like? And that's when we get that wonderful definition of love that we looked at when Graham Loder came to preach a few weeks ago. Love is patient, love is kind, it doesn't envy, it doesn't boast, it's not rude, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but always rejoices with the truth and protects, hopes, and perseveres. I wonder if we've got a slide there. That's those words. Now, some of you remember that when we had our special cafe church week, we had a look at this definition of love, and we just asked ourselves the question, Howard, can you see the mistake on that in that passage there? Do you see something slightly out of place there? It was a very loose translation of the original Greek. We had a look at this and sort of did a love checker and asked ourselves the questions, how do we do on all these things? How much do they describe us? And it was out of 15. And I scored 4.5 out of 15, which is really rather scraping the barrel because you can only really have one. So the half was really kind of pushing it a bit. So we weren't there. Where we really need to be, we all agreed, we hadn't got there yet. So there was a need for us all to move on and to mature. And we challenged each other, didn't we, as we sort of ticked the ones we were good at and crossed the ones we weren't so good at. There was a challenge and a question. How can we then move to be able to be more like that in the areas that we know we're not? How can we do that? Well, even though we can't put Bob instead of love, there is another word that we can put there. I wonder if we just have the next slide up there. You see, we can replace that word love in this passage with the word Jesus, and it fits. It fits beautifully. He fits beautifully because, of course, it's a description of what Jesus is like. Now, one day, love will be made perfect in us all when we go to be with Jesus. On that day when we go to be in heaven, we will be made perfect. That will be a finished thing. And of course, love is the only thing that lasts. On that day when we eventually get to heaven, you know, the passage ended up last week with, and now these three remain, faith, hope and love, but the greatest of these are love. Why is that? Because when we're in heaven, you know, there's nothing to hope for anymore. All our hopes will have been fulfilled. Faith? We won't need to have faith because we will stand in the very presence of God. Love is the only thing that lasts. There'll be nothing to prophesy about, nothing to hope about. Love will be the thing that is there. So this morning, we're going to do the hard work, which is, how do we now get to be more like how we're going to be in heaven, even though we're not fully going to manage it this side of heaven? Does that make sense? It's how. We're going to go for the how. And that's the bit that we didn't do last week. We looked at what Jesus was like, we looked at what love was like, we looked at what we were like, the difference between the two, but we never answered the question, how? So this is the how. How can we do this? How can we do this? And I'm going to give you a very simple answer to this, which we're going to work through, and it's really what this passage from the first letter of John that we had read a bit earlier on, it's what that's all about, and I'm going to pick bits out of that to answer the question for us, how can we be more like Jesus in the way that we love? So that's what we're going to do this morning. And as the next slide's just going to show, how can we do this? The answer to it is quite simply by being connected to the source of love. We can be full of God's love by virtue of being connected to God who is love and having his love flowing out through us. Dear friends, our Bible reading this morning, 1 John chapter 4 verse 3 says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Love comes from God. How do we start on this then? I've got five things that really stood out to me from the passage in 1 John 4. Five things that answer that question, how? And we're just going to go through them one by one. So the first one is, We need to know the source of love. We need to know the source of love. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. We've got to know that. See, for as long as I think it's about me and how well I can do, I'm really on a hiding to nothing. Because as we've already established, when we looked at that list, love is this, love is that, you can't just take love out and stick Bob there, can you? You might be able to do it for four and a half of them sometimes, but for most of them, most of the time, you just can't do that. So it's not about me. That's the first thing. It's not about you and your own performance. If you think it's all about you and your own performance, you're going to end up terribly discouraged and totally failing at it, because we're just not that. God is love, and you and I, we're not. So the first thing is that we need to know the source of love. We've got to know that God is love. God is love, so I can only love like he loves insofar as I am connected to him and his love is flowing out through me. That's the basic premise. That's the thing that we've got to get fixed in our heads. It's not about me. It's not about my performance. It's about him and who he is and letting that flow through me. Okay? So that's the first one. Knowledge. The second one is this. We need to know what it means to be loved. I think it was John Lennon who sung these words. How can I give love when love is something I never had? He sung that. How can I give love when love is something I never had? You see, if I don't know what it is to be loved, then how can I love someone else? Sounds very simple, doesn't it? But it's true, isn't it? And grace, the grace of God, knowing that God loved us first, is so important. It starts with God loving me. It starts with God loving me and God loving you. Grace, we need to know that God loves us first. This is love. In John chapter 4, verse 10, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And again in verse 19, we love because he first loved us. That's grace, you know. We live in a society where everything we can get needs to be earned. Probably when we're not much older than the little kids who went out. You know, if you don't eat your first course, you can't have any pudding. You know, if you don't pass your O-levels, you can't go to college. If you don't go to college, you can't have a decent job. You know, all through our lives, we've learned that everything has to be... We're told there's no such thing as a free lunch. You see, it's drilled into us. You don't get something for... It's there, isn't it? But that's what God turns on its head, because actually he gives us love for nothing. He loves us before we ever love him. Isn't that amazing? And that's what grace means. Grace means that God loves us unconditionally as much as he ever could before we ever respond to him. And sometimes people hate God. Do you know, he loves them just as much as if they loved him. Someone once put it to me like this: there's nothing you can do, no matter how good, to make God love you any more, and nothing you could do, no matter how bad, to make God love you any less. Isn't that a wonderful security? The love of God. And before we can love other people, we need to know about that, and we need to know and feel that grace in our lives. So firstly, we need to know the source of love. Secondly, that's knowledge. Secondly, we need to know that God loved us first. That's grace. Thirdly, we need to have experienced the love of God for ourselves. We need to have experienced the love of God for ourselves. Jane, my wife, is a bit flued up this morning, so she stayed in bed, and I came here without her. Now, when I go back to my house, you know, if I've forgotten my keys, as I often do, to the front door, I ring the bell and Jane will come to the door. She'll open the door, pleased to see me, and I say to her, Jane, I want you to know this morning that I love you with all my head. Now, she knows there's not much in my head, so it doesn't count for very much. It's not what she wants to hear, is it? I love you with all my head. No, I love you with all my heart. See, and very often we can know about God's love in our head because we've read it on paper, but that's not the same as knowing God's love in our hearts. And, you know, God wants to put his put knowledge of his love for us right in the very fabric of our being. It says in verses 12 and 13, no one's ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he's given us of his Spirit. The Bible says, by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, we cry, Abba, Father. That is, we have an intimate love with the God who made us. So you see, we need to know in our heads about God's love. And we need to know that that love is based on grace. He loved us regardless of what we ever did or didn't do for him. But it's also got to be a real experience. We've got to know in our knower, wherever that is, we've got to know in our knowers that he loves me. Jesus loves me. The fourth thing, this is four out of five, the fourth thing is to do with attitude. We know God loves us. We know about his grace, that it's not based on our performance. We've experienced it in our lives. And then we need to be willing to start to share that love with others. I've put it like this. We need to be willing to see others through Jesus-tinted spectacles. We need to see others through Jesus-tinted spectacles. In verse 21, it says this, and he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. That's a command. Someone said to me, when I was at school, I was about 16, and someone in the CU said this, she said, the love in your heart wasn't put there to stay. Love's only love when you give it away. Funny I should remember that sort of 35 years later. I remember saying that. The love in your heart wasn't put there to stay. Love's only love when you give it away. That's from my school days. But she was right. It's true. Do you know, love is the only thing that we can give away without having any less supply for ourselves. You can keep loving and you never run out. Isn't that wonderful? Because, of course, we're all connected to the source, which is God, who is love. So we've just got a line from heaven of love that never runs out, filling our hearts with his love that we can share it with one another. I remember when she said that at the CU meeting, another guy said, yes, he said, it's like when you get those tubes of bubbles. We should be like the bubbles, and when they hit things, we should be bursting in love over everybody. We were only 16 at school. These things stick in your mind. It'd be good if every time you bumped into someone at Alma, you got a taste of God's love. Wouldn't that be fantastic? Why not? Even better, what about when we're outside church and we're at work and stuff, and people, when they come in contact with us, come into contact with God's love? Amazing. Do you know, that's world-changing stuff, isn't it? Want to change the atmosphere at work? Start that happening. The atmosphere at college, the atmosphere at home. That's the way to do it, isn't it? Let the love of God flow out through you, and everyone who comes across you, bashes into you, just encounters the love of God. Really exciting. So that's attitude. We need to be willing to see others through Christ-tinted spectacles. So that person who you really can't stand, who you know, that you don't even want to talk to them because whatever they say, it just rubs you up the wrong way. Do you know the person I'm talking about? But yeah, that person. You've got to make a decision. Now, I may feel like that about them. I don't think they like me, or whatever they say isn't very helpful, or I just want to avoid them. That sort of person. I may feel that about them, but I've got to make a decision that I'm going to look at them through Jesus-tinted spectacles. So that means me saying, yeah, well, they might make me feel like that, and I may feel like that about them, but how is it that Jesus sees them? How is it that Jesus sees them? And then, of course, you move back to slide number two. You don't have to. You need to move back to slide number two, which is knowing the grace of God, that God loves me before I ever did anything for him. So therefore, he's seeing that person, even though they're not doing anything for me or anything for him, perhaps, he sees them the same as he sees me. Do you get it? It's a big thing, you know. It's a really big thing. And it's a decision that we have to... It doesn't come naturally. Because naturally, people who we find difficult, who don't like us or whatever, we kind of go, whoa, that's natural to protect ourselves and stuff. This is supernatural. This is us making a decision to say, well, I'm going to see them how Jesus sees them. World-changing stuff, isn't it? World-changing stuff, this love of God. Lastly, connected. If we're going to do all this, it is so very important that we stay connected. Connected to Jesus, in a close relationship with him, so that this love can flow. In verse 16 it says this, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. That's close relationship. So we look at that. Can we just put that list of what love is back up? I can't remember what slide number that was. The love is... slide four, if you've got it. Have you got slide four there somewhere? When we look at that list of what love is, of what Jesus is, and we say, ah, I just don't measure up to that. Well, that's true. One day, when I'm in heaven, I will measure up to that because I'll be there with him. And he'll make me perfect. So I'm in the meantime, I'm trying to progress and become more like that. How do I do that? By knowing that he's the source of love. By knowing his grace, that he unconditionally loved me first. By experiencing that as a reality in my life, more than just my head, but in the totality of my being, knowing that love of God in my knower. Attitude, by them being willing to see others in the same way that Jesus sees them, through Jesus-tinted spectacles, that's attitude. And then to be connected in close relationship with Jesus. That, I think, is the how. If you'd like to know how, that's it. So the question is, what do we now do with that information? Well, you could just get started on it. Just get started on it. Just say, right, okay, God, you're the source of love. Thank you that you loved me first. Help me to experience your love. Help me to see others in the way that you see them. And keep me close to you, Lord, that I might forever draw on your limitless reservoir of love. We could do that, couldn't we? We could pray that. Now, there's some chairs there, and at the end of the service, if you would like to go to someone for prayer, and it could be that you don't feel very lovable. It could be that you don't feel worthy of God's love, even after what I've said. It could be that you haven't really experienced God's love in that deep place. Then there'll be someone over there who would count it a privilege to pray for you that you might encounter God's love in a new way. Now, it may be that person I was talking about earlier, you know, the one you don't like, you find difficult, that person. Maybe you're not quite sure how to get started on that. Then go and let someone pray for you. You don't have to tell people names. You can just say, there's this person and, you know, blah, 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 blah. I don't know how to get started. No, just pray God's love into that situation. So please don't leave here without having a fresh experience of God yourself. And having the tools to progress in that love and to become more like Jesus and to deal with that relationship, that situation, that person. Don't leave here without doing business with God, because he's the God who is real and who makes a difference. Let's pray now, shall we, those things.